Is October 17th, I'm sorry, 18th, 2020. And though 2020 registers as someone's perfect vision, we are living in down times. Every turn of the page of a newspaper, every broadcast, every sign of things that are trending are words of alarm and words that often leave us perplexed. I had the TV on this morning and I heard a commentator talking about climate change, explaining how all the fires and all the rains and the hurricanes and the storms, they're predictors of what they call a cataclysmic end. Unless we do something, one of them said this, they said, it's not if it's going to get better, it's when it's going to get better. Amen. We have been putting off for so long trying to address climate change, it's almost too late. That was a downturn on a Sunday. There was another segment that was talking about how are we going to move forward with the fall and the winter coming and the possibility of the flu with this coronavirus. What does this mean for us as people? Everything seems to be down. We're living in a downward time. But I was reading this and I saw some hope here. I saw some light. And I thought that I would share it with you. And so we're going to talk about how do we deal with down times. Now, chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah introduces us to a character by the name of King Uzziah. Amen. Now, King Uzziah, if you read through the book of Chronicles, was a king, and he was a godly king over Judah, and he had reigned for 52 years. I mean, this king was somebody when it came to the history of Judah. He attained power, he obtained wealth for the people, and he was successful in all that he did as the king. Man, they were living like we were living before the COVID. Amen. Things seemed to be promising. Things seemed to be on the upbeat. And this King Uzziah was also a man who was a godly man who was influenced by Zechariah. But here's the problem. With Zechariah's influence and all that God was doing for King Uzziah, he now believed that he was obtaining power by himself. And how many of you know that godly blessings can mess you up? Amen. Godly blessings can mess you up. You get to thinking that you and God. You get to feeling that what God does, you're doing, and it's because of you that it's getting done. We forget sometimes that if it had not been, like the old folks said, for the Lord on our side, where would we be? And so what happens if you go into the book of 2 Chronicles 26, and I'm not asking you to change, I'm determined to now, I'm just giving you some background. You'll find out that for all of King Uzziah's success, he messed up, and chapter 26 tells us that the king lost control. he crossed the line. And what do you mean, Pastor, when you say he crossed the line? Well, because Uzziah believed his own PR about how great he was, one day he decided that he was big enough and bad enough to cross God. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but there were specific roles. God had specific purposes for specific people, and there was a line of priests, and they had a job to do. Their job was to tend to this temple, and their job was to burn incense on the incense altar. But King Uzziah looked around himself, saw all that he had done, and thought he was bad enough to break into God's house. Now, he didn't break it. He walked in. That's what I mean by break. He walked into God's house, and he decided not to call for the priest, but he decided that he was going to offer incense. And he burned the incense. Now, I don't know how much you know about job requirements and job specific tasks. But that wasn't his job. Matter of fact, he upset Zechariah and some of the other priests, and they had a conversation with King Uzziah. Now, as I said, success and blessings from God can mess you up. Mm-hmm. Get you the big head. And so what happened is Uzziah, the great king, was confronted by the priest. And how many of y'all know that God always gives you a chance to get right? See, when the priest talked to him, what King Uzziah did is he copped an attitude. Amen, copped an attitude. Y'all know how some of you are. Who are you to come talk to me? Who are you to tell me something? That's what happened to King Uzziah. And in chapter 26 of Chronicles, it said after he had the big head, after he copped an attitude with the priest, Uzziah was confronted and stricken with leprosy. A godly king, a man of great success, warring, a man who was able to rally surrounding troops with him. 52 good years, and he messed up. 52 good years. Read it when you get a chance. It's in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. He messed up, and he died a leper. And let me share that with you, that because of his disobedience, that was the result. It did not matter what he had done before, but he was cut off. But here's the point. For all those years, he had been a godly man. It can take but one misstep and one situation when you cross the line that you may not want to pay the price you have to pay. Think about it like this. Uzziah didn't die, but a powerful monarch, a powerful king, was now cut off as a leper. He could not be around his family. He could not be around his people. So he was in isolation until the very day he died. Let me tell you, from even where I sit and from my vantage point, that's a terrible price to pay. Matter of fact, we're suffering a bit of this today. Not for anything that we've done, but because of the COVID, we're not around the people we want to be around. And some of us are really feeling what it means to be disassociated with people we care about. And here's a godly king. I'm not certain he prayed and asked God to forgive him. I would like to believe he would, but he was still made to be in isolation until the day he died. And that's where we find him. That's where we find him in Isaiah 6, verse 1. It said that Isaiah, this is the first verse, Isaiah stands disturbed. He's disturbed. He's upset. Man, something's going through him. And we read it by saying that Isaiah lets us know in the year that King Uzziah died. Man, this death was a possible ending to the nation's prosperity and to the nation's consistency. Isaiah said the king died. It was an end to the time of certainty. Change and doubt would come. Little did Isaiah know that in his time of rediscovering what side of the butter of the bread was buttered, what side of living was up, that it was about time for him to discover some ultimate and some real realities. Amen. You see, when he lets us know that King Uzziah died, he was saying it from a perspective that his focus had been on Uzziah, and now Uzziah was dead. Man, when you get wrapped up into something or someone and you build your whole world around them, when something happens to them, you're devastated. And so this wasn't just him writing a note in history for us. This was him coming to a realization that his living was about to be changed upside down. And so Isaiah had been focusing on, Isaiah had been focusing on Uzziah, and now he was dead. But how little did he know, his downtime was about to be an upswing. Amen. When you go down, you're not going down to the bottom, especially when you ride with King Jesus. He's got you. Sometimes he's got to disturb your world a little bit. Sometimes he's got to shake it up a little bit, but you don't have to worry about bottoming out, because somewhere God's hand has got you. You'll never fall far from God's almighty hand. That's why we say, put your hand in the man named God. Amen. So Isaiah's circumstance here in the sixth chapter really, really gives us a recipe or a guideline on what we need to do when down times come our way. See, down times can do one of two things for you. Down times will either grow you or they'll ruin you. Amen. Down times will either grow you or ruin you, but it depends on who you focus yourself on. It depends on what you focus on. So what do you do when down times come? Do you find yourself, woe is me? Do you find yourself looking down? See, if you're looking down, you can't look up. If you're walking around, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, and there's a woe is me in the story, but that's another story too. It lets you know that you're wrapping yourself up, not in lofty expectations, but in pitiful and pathetic situations. Amen. So let's look at the text and see if we can help see what Isaiah saw. So he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. Now, that's the first thing, and that's my first point. When things are down, be like Isaiah. He looked up and saw God's position. He looked up and saw God's position. Isaiah looked and saw God in his power and his glory. Oh yes, his earthly king was gone, but he was able to see by looking up that there was a heavenly king that was still sitting on a throne. Isaiah saw God in all his majesty, and the thing I like about it, it has impacted his life to know when life falls apart, God is still on the throne. I don't care how much H-E-double-L toothpicks or whatever you want to call you might get. Let me tell you, first of all, you're not going through hell. You might say it, but that's not what's happening. Amen. No matter what you're going through, God knows the beginning from the end. He knows how it's going to end, and God's got you. And so no matter how down you may be, no matter how much crying you may go through, no matter how upset you may be, God is still in control. He's still reigning. And what appears to be tragedy may be the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Let me say that again. What appears to be tragedy may be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Yeah. There's a man named Job. Ask Brother Job that when they came in and told him that his land, his crops, his kids, his house, all was gone. Job had enough sense to realize that God was still on the throne. Job can tell you about how disaster can turn into divinity when you trust God. And I like the fact he said, though he slay me, though he takes my life, though he's killing me and I can't stand it, I will still trust in him. That's what you got to learn to do, folks. You got to learn to still trust in God when it seems like everything and everybody is against you. Not only ask Brother Job about it, but recall there's a scripture in Romans 8:28 that says all things. Yeah. All things, the good and the bad. Uh-huh. They're doing what? Working together. Uh-huh. And they're working together what? All things are working together for, now, this may be an editorial, you're good. See, we read things and we don't put ourselves in the text. That's for you to know personally. It's working together for your good. Why? Because you're the called. Did you see that? The called. You are the called. Now, I say this every time I step into the text. When I was a little boy, I was hard-headed. Uh-huh. And I could be outside playing sometime, and my mother would call for me. Kent. And I would hear, but I was trying to still have some time with my friends and a little hard-headed and yeah. And so my mother was verbally, now understand this, she was verbally calling me. See, that's the verb, she was calling me. But as long as I stayed over here, I wasn't one of the called. She was calling, but I wasn't going to call because I acted like I didn't hear her. Now, if I was to hear her and I came, then I would be the called. Do you understand what I'm saying? I would be the called. So when I read the text, I have to realize, and the Bible says this, that many are called, but few are what? Chosen. Why? Because only a few adhere or heed the calling. So when I read the text, I see now that this text is for me if I respond to it, and I do respond to it. So I say, I don't have to look at the negative side of the equation. All I've got to know is God is working it out for my good. I let him worry about the mess, and I'll stand up in line for the blessed. Amen. Not a messing, but a blessing. It's coming my way out of Romans 8, 28. Why? Because I know that everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between, God is using it. He's not putting it on me. He's using it for my blessing and for my good. Now, I want you to turn to, I'm going to give you some scripture. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to give you something to write down and hold on to, because there's going to come some down times in your life. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in the 17th verse. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in the 17th verse. Look at it, it says, for, now you can put a Y in front of the O-U-R. For your light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for you or us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God using downturns. Matter of fact, won't you say it with me? God is setting me up so that he may bless me up. Amen. He's posturing us. Don't you understand? It's like a game of billiards. You have to put your ball in the right place. You have to be able to cut it right when you shoot the ball. So God is setting you up and lining you up that you may go into the pocket of his grace. You have to spend a little time. And even since I'm using the analogy of pool, when the ball hits the other ball, that's contact. And that's some hurt and some pain. And sometimes we got to deal with the hurt and pain, knowing that it's not going to last forever. That God has got a purpose and a plan for us. And my first point, subpoint is this. Remember this. God is in control of his universe. He's not out of control. He is in control of his universe. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 6. And I want to read to you the second verse. Oh, I want to emphasize the first. I said, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. That's when he saw God in God's position. And the second verse says, above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried the other and said, and I like to picture this. It's like when we walk and see somebody, we speak to them, we nod. How are you? I'm doing very well. How are you today? Yeah. But I'm gonna take this to another conclusion. There's a seraphim, and the seraphim who's in the presence of the Lord says, holy. And another seraphim says, holy. And another one says, holy. And another one says, holy. That job was to call out the nature of who God is. And so my second point is, he looked around and witnessed God's personality. He looked around and witnessed God's personality. So what do you mean by that? I mean, he saw the angelic beings declaring God's nature, seraphim honoring God's holiness and purity. They covered their eyes and looked at what they said. I like what they said. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is filled with his glory, his power, his majesty, his greatness, his largeness. God's got the whole world. And like the song used to say, in his hand, he got you and me, brother, you and me, sister. He got the whole world in his hand. That's the power of God. That's the personality of God. Who is God? God is somebody. Who is God? He is the great Jehovah. High and lifted up and above everything and above everyone. This is what the angelic host was doing. They were celebrating God's honesty and purity. They covered their face with wings and they asserted to God's glory. And finally, Isaiah gets it. Isaiah is able to see that an earthbound king may be good, but the Lord God, the holy God above, he alone deserved glory. Now let me say this to you. God's main attribute is his holiness. God's main attribute is his holiness. That means it's preeminent. That means that if we have to trump anything, amen. Now I'm talking about card playing Trump. I'm not talking about anything else. But if we have to trump anything of all the expressions of God that we have experienced in our life, the one that is foremost for us is God is holy. That's what he said, be thou holy, for the Lord our God is holy. That's his main attribute. And Isaiah understood that instead of getting all wrapped up in an earthbound king, he needed to give it to Almighty God. It's our duty to honor his holy nature. It's our duty to live holy lives before Almighty God and to recognize that it's his right for us to give glory. We ought to give God the glory due his name. Isaiah found out it was not about what was happening to Isaiah and Isaiah, but it was about what was happening for God and Isaiah. He misplaced his king. How many times in life when situations and circumstances prevailed for us, did we forsake the King of Kings and take another king in his place? I'm talking about money. I'm talking about cars. I'm talking about people we love and we care for. How often have we put other things in front of God? It's about God alone. He deserves your honor and your glory. During down times in life, what you need to remember is this. Remember, God is working all things out for the glory of his name. God is working all things out for the glory of his name. Let's look at James 1:17. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What that means in this context is that no matter what happens to you, the end result is always God's best. Let me say it again. That means no matter what you're going through, the end result is always God's best. Now, you may not take it as God's best, but if you believe the equation that God is working it out on your behalf, then somehow or another, you got to sit down and have a conversation with God. You may need to pray about it. You may need to fast about it because you're not understanding it. But just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that God has not worked it out for your good. Everything is planned and purposed, and God is working it out. There's no shadow of turning with him. That means there's no darkness. There's no evil in it. There's nothing in it but good and light. So the first thing I said was, Isaiah looked up and saw God's position, and that was high and lifted up. He looked around and witnessed God personally. He began to see and understand that what his response was to be was a response of the seraphim. And we need to see that. That God is a holy God. And this, listen, think about Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. He was a man who would go to God and stand in front of God on behalf of the people. And then he would take God's word and he would stand in front of the people on the behalf of God. This means that Isaiah was somebody, but he was still caught off guard with his connection with the king Uzziah and his worry about Uzziah, that his focus was not always on the place it should have been. My third point, he looked and saw God's presence. He looked and saw God's presence. So the first look was he looked up. The second look was he looked around. And the third look is he looked and saw. Now we can see Saul all we want. Let me say it again. We can see Saul all you want. We can ride up and down. We can play a little game, jump off, or somebody else is on the seesaw. But I want you to see and saw something here, okay? Now, let me read verse 4 to you. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. What was the smoke? What was the smoke? I'm glad you asked. The smoke was God's Shekinah glory. Mm-hmm. The smoke was God's Shekinah glory. And the Shekinah glory suggests the awesome presence and even the anger of God. Now note in the previous verse that his train filled the temple, but his Shekinah glory filled the house. And his robe and presence were key in the temple because Isaiah was gone, but the Lord was still here and he wanted to call Isaiah's attention. I'm still here. God had not forsaken Isaiah in his downturn, but the Lord was still with Isaiah in his need. So whenever you get in a downturn in life, you may want to be like Job's wife and say, curse God and die, but you better hold your breath. You better bite your tongue. You better slap yourself silly if you want to. You better go to the biggest bully and say, beat you me up. But I'm here today to tell you that God has not forsaken you. He's not left you alone. God is just preparing you for where he's taking you. And you've got to hold on until the end. Hold on until God reveals his plan for you. God had not forsaken Isaiah in his downturn. He was still with Isaiah. And this is what I want you to remember. Remember this truth. When you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, now that's just me. Because I got down on this paper, when you're saved. But see, some of y'all, no. Some of y'all, no. I'm not going there. There are some people who are saved, but they're really safe. Okay, let me say, there's some people who think they're saved, but they're really safe. What do you mean? Okay. Some people, and maybe some of you all, are believing in what is being propagated from this pulpit and other pulpits, not because you're saved, but because you have an insurance policy in your back pocket. You have that insurance policy in your back pocket because when it comes to dying, you want to think that you're safe or your family is safe because you come someplace and you hear a few words, but you're not saved, you're safe, you think. See, in baseball, when you're still home, there's that one call you want to hear. You want to hear, not. And there's too many of us coming here to hear the calling, and we're happy enough. But I'm here today to tell you, it's not about being safe. It's about being saved. And that's why I added, if you're saved and sanctified and filled with God's Holy Ghost, don't tell me you're Oh, Jesus. Well, thank you, Lord. Remember this truth. When you're saved and sanctified and filled with God's Holy Ghost, you are never alone. When you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you are never alone. Even in the downturns of life, even in the darkness of the night, even when the ship is rocking and rolling and Jesus is asleep, you still hear his word, you still believe his word, to know that he has not abandoned you, that he's with you. His word of God says this. Turn to Hebrews 13 and let's look at verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Y'all there yet? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now I thought I had about, there's only about six of us in here. Now there's maybe a few more than six. We have less than 10 in here. And I thought at least one of y'all would run. Jog in place? Anyone want to jog in place? Come on, somebody. I got to run because I know that Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. I got to run because he's my God. Amen, amen, amen. I'm running for Jesus and I don't feel no ways tired. I'm going to stop before I get tired. But he said, I'll never leave you. Listen, 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 beloved. As the sun rises and set, down times are coming. Count on them. They're going to come. But if you want a clear view of an upward path that doesn't include the woe is me, because you see in verse 5, so I said, woe is me. I don't want to live in a woe is me condition. I want to be able to live in a condition where it's wow is me. Yes, wow is me. The Lord is high and lifted up. The Lord God worship, and the Lord is in your presence. There ought to be no circumstance, no downturns. It may be a roadblock, but I know just like my GP, oh man, oh Lord, let me tell you something. We were so far off the grid this week that when we were driving, the GPS cut off. And you don't know where you are because you've never been there before. And so you go searching for a signal. And if it wasn't for my wife having a good memory, we'd have been lost. Because I didn't know where I was. Then I mean, every country road looked like a country road. I'm telling you the truth. And you get out there and there's no paved line. You know, only big enough for a car and a half. You got to go off the road and let another. I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't getting any GPS signals. And a little anxiety would build up in me. And I'm here today to tell you that if you're riding on the road of life and you've lost your GPS signal, you don't have to really fear. All you got to do is wait for a second while the GPS is recalculating. And as the GPS recalculating, it says, turn around. Turn around. You won't get yourself in a place like I was where I didn't know where to turn around or go, but the good Lord will tell you, redirecting, redirecting, redirecting. That's what God is going to do for you in your downtime. Just see it as an upswing for a praise up and a raise up. God bless you. God bless you. And heaven smile upon you is my prayer.
Man, wow, what a great word, what a wonderful word from our pastor. Thank God for pastor, thank you for Amen. Words of life and of truth. We thank him.
Amen.
In times like these, we're in a special time, aren't we?
Yes.
There's a lot of downturns. And we can find ourselves in a situation where we look around and we find out that Jesus is all we got. Amen. But then we can thank God because that's all that we need. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We can thank him. That's all that we need. The sermon really touched me today because sometimes we do look around and we don't look up where we should look the first time, to Christ,
Amen.
To God, and to thank him for who he is in our life, and that we can go to him and understand that all these things work together for our good. And we just gotta believe. But you know, this time of the service, we open the doors of the church. And we open the doors of the church and we provide three offers. And as a result of the sermon today, you can see how important the first offer is.
Amen.
And that's the offer of salvation.
Yes.
Going through these downturns and times like these without God, where would we be? But if you are there on the sound of my voice and you haven't given your life to Christ, now is your time. Don't worry about who's trying to look at you or think something about you. Now is your time to give your life to Christ so that you too can walk through these downturns with God on your side, the all-sovereign God. The maker of heaven and earth, the one who can take us through. So if you haven't given your life to Christ, all you have to do is, the Bible says in Romans, it says you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. and you will be saved.
Amen.
We put the sinner's prayer on the screen for you that's out there on the platforms. And if you would just say that prayer, then you will be saved. Also, if you've been saved, the second offer is, if you have not continued in fellowship with Christ, we know that God is a God of reconciliation.
Amen.
And all you have to do is confess your sins, and he will forgive you for those sins, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So God wants you back in the fold. He wants you to have abundant life, and he wants you to live with him. And then if you are looking for a place where you can be loved, and people that love God can walk with you in this discipleship process, New Season Ministry is a place for you.
Yes, amen.
So please look at the information that's on our website and fill out the Guest Connect card that's out there so that we can reach out to you. We are committed to walking with Christ with you.
Amen.
We also have a couple announcements that we would like to make today. First is Bible study on Tuesday. We're trying to reach 100 to visit our Bible study.
Amen.
So please invite someone to come in. There's powerful teaching going on in Bible study. And we also want to encourage you to continue to give your tithes and offering, as we cannot continue to do the work of the Lord without your help.
Amen.
And we thank you for that. So we thank you for being with us today. We hope that you experience God in a new and refreshing way. I know that the word has went out.
Amen.
So to all of you, we thank God for you. We thank God for your presence today. And we hope that what is said will enrich your life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we are just so thankful for your presence today in our service. We thank you, O Lord, for the man of God that you have anointed with such powerful word and a powerful message. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, because you tell us that we will have trials, but will you also say that you will walk with us, that you will go with us, and you will never leave us. So, Lord, we thank you for your promises. And now, Lord, as we leave your presence, but we leave this place, but not your presence, Lord, we ask that you will continue to keep your arms around all of us, Lord, and keep us safe until we gather again in this forum. We want to praise you. We want to honor you, and we want to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.